This morning, I would like for us to turn to Romans chapter 5 for the reading and for the preaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Out of reverence and thanksgiving to God, let us stand for the reading of God's Word, Romans 5, 1 through 11. Hear the Word of the Lord. May the Lord bless it to our hearing and to our hearts this morning. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Lord, we pray, we thank You for Your Word. It's powerful to the casting down of thrones and dominions. It's powerful to saving those who are under Your wrath. It's powerful to building us up and to giving us hope every day and joy through the knowledge of what You have done for us and given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul refers in Romans to my gospel. Now, he can say that because his gospel is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His gospel is the gospel of God, my gospel. And his gospel at this point in chapter 5 of Romans is a gospel of grace by faith alone. Go back and look at chapter 5, verse 1. Just for a moment, I've preached many sermons already on these, and I'm trying to summarize some of that this morning for you. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, because as you all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have mentioned regularly these three names and titles of Jesus. We just don't accept Jesus. He is the Lord, Jesus, Christ. And every one of those words is full of great riches and meaning and application to understand who Jesus is and what He is and who He is to us and what we're called to believe and what we're called to when we're called to the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith alone. Now in these 11 verses, we see several things that are the benefits and the blessings that come to those who have been saved by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't hurt to think about those. We need to think about it more. Oh, the blessing. What you have inherited by the grace of God, you did not have apart from Him. We were enemies of God. And now we've been reconciled. We're friends with God. He's our Heavenly Father. He's not our judge in the ultimate and final sense of the word. We're delivered from His wrath and His anger, which we duly deserved because of our sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't care how righteous you were before or in what kind of covenant home you were raised. We were all ungodly. And we still struggle with that, don't we? But here are several benefits and blessings you should humbly praise God for. First of all, He says you have peace with God. I don't think we realize enough what it meant to be an enemy of God and now to be reconciled to God. He says we are standing in grace. Now that's what I'm going to come back to. We're standing in grace. He says that we rejoice in the hope, the confident expectation of the ultimate glory of God, because now we don't see that by any means. But we have an absolute confidence in the glory of God, and we rejoice in our sufferings in this world, because we do live in an imperfect, fallen world, a world in which we're persecuted, righteousness is persecuted, belief is persecuted, Christians are persecuted, and we still look forward, according to Romans chapter 8, a world that is fully redeemed at the coming and the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be saved from the wrath to come by Christ's life, and we rejoice in God. I think we Presbyterian Reformed people need to learn a little bit more about rejoicing in God. I like what John Piper said about worship. With gravity, we're good on that. And gladness. I think we're so good about that. Gravity and gladness. We rejoice in God for His great mercy to us. So those are 6 points, in case you weren't counting. I don't have a 6-point sermon this morning. I'm going to just touch on one of these. Standing in grace. Going back to chapter 5, he says in verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith, not by works, not by our righteousness, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So I want to talk about that. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to talk to you about it. Where are you standing? We're all sitting. Where are you standing? What difference does it make in your life after the service is over? Where are you standing? Are you standing in grace? The second thing about this grace is we're to grow in grace. Several times, Peter and Paul talk about grace be multiplied to you. How can grace be multiplied to you? We're saved by grace. It's a once-for-all act by the Holy Spirit. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're in the realm of God's grace. And so we're standing in grace. You've got to realize you're standing on solid ground. We're growing in grace, and what are the means of grace by which you grow? So let me talk about those a little bit this morning. Standing in grace. I've never been in the military. How many of y'all have been in the military? A few of you. Thank you. I may be wrong. I think I'm right. I've seen enough war movies to state that sometimes in these movies they'll talk about a red zone and a green zone. Now, a red zone is a hot zone where there are bullets flying, where there are snipers, where there are enemy in is enemy in doorways and shooting at you. You're trying to shoot at them and kill them, and they're trying to kill you. It's a red zone. There's also a green zone. A green zone is where you can come, have a base, you can enter in. Hopefully you're going to be safe. You can rest, you can relax, and you don't have to worry about being shot at, we hope. As believers, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, he says in verse 5 that the love of God has been poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit he's given you. And so by grace, you're a believer. By grace, the love of God for you, the love of God in Jesus Christ has been poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You're born again by the Holy Spirit. And you know the love of God that he's talking about here. And you're standing in the green zone. You're no longer under the wrath of God. You're no longer under the Mosaic covenant in which the Ten Commandments were given and hounded you to death, and you were guilty and under the judgment of God. Now Christ has borne the judgment for you, that you may be in the green zone, free from the wrath of God, in a relationship, having God as your heavenly Father. We are able to say, Abba, Father. How often do you think of God not simply as the sovereign one, the holy one, but as my Father who is working all things together for good? Me. Not just to everyone, to me. Providentially. Day by day. And I will grant you that there are a lot of unpleasant things, physically, perhaps emotionally, temporally at times, that grieve us, hurt us. We have doubts, we have fears, we wonder. But our Heavenly Father is working all things together for good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Why has God called you? Has called you to be transformed by the image of the Lord, to into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you. Those whom he justified, he glorified. And in between, he sanctifying. And what does it mean to be sanctified? To be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course we say, well, that's impossible. Nobody can do that. And so we don't even try. We just make excuses. I've given you the Holy Spirit. And I've given you my word. And so we are standing and sitting this morning in the grace zone by the grace of God. Standing is confident, solid ground. Not quicksand, not marshes, but solid ground. You can stand in the grace of God without fear and without doubt. But I want to remind you, as I've already mentioned, that we are called to grow in grace. And some people are satisfied, if I may say, and I've been a Christian for many years. I was a Christian before I became a pastor. And I still think of myself as a Christian, talking to other Christians. But I'm called to preach. And I can reflect on my own life. And I know the experience of a lot of Christians out there as well. And I did wonder, when I read the Bible, where Paul and Peter talk about growing and increasing in grace. How do you increase in grace if we're saved by grace? But several times, may the grace of God be multiplied to you. And he's addressing believers. 27 books in the New Testament, 4 Gospels, evangelists, 1 apostolic missionary book, Acts, 5, 22 other books written for believers. Written to believers. And when Peter talks about growing in grace, he says, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. He says in conclusion to 2 Peter, verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this, how many times does he mention know, knowledge, the importance and the place of knowledge, not just feelings. And by the way, of those six things I told you about in Romans chapter 5, there's not one promise in there of health and wealth. Go back and read it. You therefore, beloved, as he writes to believers, who are struggling, who are learning, who are growing. I can remember R.J. Rushdoony saying one time how important 1 Corinthians is. And he said, 1 Corinthians, you go back and read 1 Corinthians, not now. You go back and read 1 Corinthians, it was a church full of contentions, full of... My wife knows the answers to these. Contentions, confusion, and worldliness. I can't think of the word. A very mixed up church. He says, there's one good thing about this church. It could grow. And that's why Paul is addressing them. As confused and contaminated. There's the other word. Confused, contaminated, and contentious. A motley crew. Paul writes to them, they can grow and they can change by the grace of God, by the word of God. And so here Peter says, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. The only way to be steadfast is to know the Bible. To know the Bible. And I'll go ahead and mention this. It's in my notes someplace. I've kind of forgotten those. I may come back to them. I was thinking about the Bereans the other day. They were checking out Paul. Let me go back to Acts 17. They listened to Paul and said the Bereans went back to study the Bible to see if what Paul was telling them was true. Now, how do we know what's true? And I'm not sure I know everything. I'm not sure Joe does either. I'll speak for him. But how do we know? Oh, they checked out the Bible. How do you know our interpretation of the Bible is biblical? I had somebody ask me recently about that. How do we know what we believe is biblical? Well, there are a couple of biblical principles. First of all, we believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. Most Christians will start right there and have no problem. We also believe that, therefore, because it's inspired Word of God, it can't contradict itself. And therefore, we interpret Scripture by Scripture. And I believe the best Berean application of those principles are the Westminster Standards. That's what they are. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, topically, Scripture cannot contradict itself, and that's why you see so many Christians contradicting themselves in what they believe and what they say. And I believe the best Berean provision that we have are the Westminster Standards. It was to me in my life. It will be in yours to your life as well. And there'll be some things in there you may not understand. You can call Joe anytime. But as we look at this, here's Paul. Here's Peter, who denied the Lord. Remember that. Was reinstated. He says, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with error of the wicked. That's the worst. Sometimes we may disagree with each other, but when we are led astray by the wicked, that's the worst of all, and join in with them. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Three terms. Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. the threefold work of the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory. Thousand years ago, to Him be glory. Now, today, and may you grow and increase in grace, the experience of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Knowledge and grace, the working of God and His Holy Spirit in your life. Increasing in grace. Colossians 1:10 says, in the midst of this prayer, I think Christians fail abundantly, if I may say. We don't pray the Lord's Prayer, we say the Lord's Prayer. We can say it even in unison. Praying the Lord's Prayer, understanding the meaning of it, as the Puritan so in the Westminster Confession Catechism tells us, praying for one another, not just when we're sick and we're in trouble. Colossians 1:10 says, I'm praying to you, Colossian believers. We have not arrived. There's not one of us that has arrived. That's not one of us that is seated. We are standing. We're standing. That you may walk worthy. Standing, walking. Psalm 1:1. All of Psalm 1. Standing, walking, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I've actually heard somebody say, well, I already know enough. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to these doctrine classes. I really don't need to read the Westminster Standards. I know enough. There's absolutely no believer who knows enough, and until he knows that, he's not truly understanding what the gospel's all about. So we're in the grace zone. We're not under the wrath of God. We're not condemned by the law, but the law still exists in the grace zone. And he says here, we're to walk pleasing to the Lord. We're not doing it in order to be saved, but we want to please the Lord. That's why we keep His commandments. We want to please the Lord. And if that's not your motive, I guarantee you won't be motivated to obey them. We want to please the Lord. We can be disciplined. We will not be judged. But there are professors who can be excommunicated. And so we need to understand what it means to be standing in the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice and be glad and be hopeful and know that God is still working in our hearts and our lives. Now I want to mention this morning. And this has become clearer to me as a Christian and as a pastor. The means of grace. And we can know the answer to that. We could give a confessional or biblical definition. What are the three means of grace? I hope you know that. If you don't, okay, learn this morning. These are in the larger catechism. There's a great set on that someplace. Shorter catechism. Three means. What is a means of grace? A fork is a means of eating. A spoon is a means of eating. A plate, I'm being very simplistic here in case we've got any real little ones. A means of eating by which we transfer food perhaps to ourselves and we're satisfied and we grow thereby. Sometimes we grow too much. These are channels of blessing we take for granted until the lights go out. We take for granted electricity. Then the lights go out. Oh, man. No heat. No air conditioning. we take for granted, the water goes out. Oh, man, we experience both of these back in the mountains more regularly than probably you do. We take a lot of things for granted. Water, sewer, electricity, internet goes out. Oh, man, what are we going to do? We're going to go crazy here. These are channels, means by which certain things are provided for us. Westminster Large Catechism, I've got my catechism with me this morning. I'm not going to read it for you, but it addresses, I'll just say what it addresses. And you should be familiar with it. If you're not, refamiliarize yourself with it. It talks about the three means that God has given, the outward means. The internal means is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts and gives us new hearts to receive and to believe. The internal means of grace, the Holy Spirit working in us. What does the Holy Spirit use? What does God use? What are the means of grace? The Word, read and preached. I'd love to preach about the preaching of the Word. Who is to preach? How are they to preach? How are you to listen to preaching? Get out your larger catechism. The Word, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, both of those administered today, and prayer. And think about the prayers of Paul in Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Thessalonica as he's praying for these Christians. I pray that y'all all be healthy and wealthy. Oh, that you'll know the grace of God, the love of God, the fullness of God in your life. These are people who are converted, but they're not mature. They're not grown up. They're not grown up. And so these are the means of grace that God has given us. And preaching isn't enough. Preaching is foundational. The preaching is certainly, and the church is an institutional means of grace. There's not enough appreciation for the nature of the church, the place of the church. An instrumental means of grace as it applies the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. A lot of people go to church because their friends go there. It's convenient. It's comfortable. It's our tradition. It's where we've always gone. I know everybody. We have a great time. We go to worship and to grow in grace and to praise God. That's why we go. Ask somebody next time, where do you go to church? I go, why do you go there? Well, they have to think about it. We go to praise God. We go there to grow in grace and to conform our lives to the Word of God as to encourage each other with our fellowship together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for a sufficient place to worship. No steeples, no stained glass. I don't know what's behind those curtains. You don't need that. Needs the Word of God. Preached and explained and read and believed and obeyed. And so I want to emphasize that this morning, the means of grace. We're in grace. We're to grow in grace. And the way that God intends for us to grow in grace are by these means of grace, the Word of God. Sacraments are means of grace. And preaching and praying. Again, think about the Lord's Prayer. Think about Paul's prayers in several of his epistles. Do I pray that way? Do I ever pray that way? Let's all commit ourselves to praying biblically. Praying in terms of, I often call it the Lord's Prayer as Jesus' prayer list. Let's not start with our prayer list. Let's start with Jesus' prayer list. Well, that's what I want to emphasize this morning for you. First of all, are you justified by faith alone? Are you still trying to work your way to heaven? Now, many of us should be trying to please the Lord more. Let's not confuse pleasing the Lord with trying to be justified by what we do. We want to please the Lord. And again, we enter into controversies or questions of people, well, do we have to keep the law? Or read Romans 6. Shall we no longer have to keep the law? God forbid. But we're doing it to please the Lord. Our motivation. We please the Lord. We want to serve Him and honor Him. We can be disciplined by the Lord as well. Because the Lord loves us. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Every child, every son whom He loves. Hebrews chapter 12, don't forget that. Some people say, well, you know, God loves me. That's eternal love. Nothing can take me from the love of God. And I'm not trying to please Him. Can be judged at certain people. We're not even believers. They're not trying to please the Lord. So this is basic Christianity. This is Sunday school stuff this morning. But it goes to the heart of where we need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you justified by faith alone, grace alone, Jesus Christ alone, by the Holy Spirit working in your life? Are you standing in grace? Standing in grace, the green zone. That's your confidence, your comfort, your hope, your joy. Sometimes it convicts you because I've not been standing. Are you growing in grace? Is grace being multiplied to you? What does God use to do that? His Word and His Spirit. The Word alone. His Spirit. Teaching, instructing, correcting, training in righteousness as the Holy Spirit teaches us and works in us. You need the Word of God. And you must have the Spirit of God. Again, one evidence of that is right here in Romans chapter 5, and it is verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, I would say the love for God, the love of God for us, and therefore our love for Him, has been poured out in our hearts. That's the same word as Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out on believers. Now, that's a gift to every believer today. We're not Pentecostalists in that sense of the word. Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was past tense given to us. New creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, as I preach this morning, the Lord will bless this to you, and to me, to all of us, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one without the other. Not mere knowledge. But the experience of the grace of God working in us to will and do and delight in His good pleasure. Let's call upon the Lord. Father in heaven, we call upon You in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we rejoice that we cannot see Him today. He's no longer physically present because He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He has called His apostles to expound the Scriptures to us in the light of His death and all that it means. And He's poured out His Holy Spirit. He's given us these as means of grace as He continues to work in us. May we be pleasing in Your sight, in our worship, in our life, not just our knowledge, but in our being and in our behavior. For Jesus' sake, in His name we pray. Amen.